of evening. It's August 21st, 2019, in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our service men and women. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item on the agenda is the presentation of the minutes. Due to the length of last meeting, those will be postponed to a future meeting. So then we would open to public comment, limited to agenda items only, if someone would make that motion.
I'll make the motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if any member of the public, limited to agenda items only, please.
Sit down tonight.
Yes. Name and road.
My name is Don Winkler. I live on Lebanon Township, 58 Slicker Road. I have a few questions, and I want to direct them to Mark Law, Mike Schmidt, and Tom McKee, okay? And I want some straightforward answers. I don't want any beating around the bush answers. I want straightforward answers, okay? My first question is, to you guys, the gentleman that we hired, evidently his name's James Barbero, is that correct?
Correct.
And at one time, I guess he was a mayor of Parsippany Troy Hills, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Now, what I want to know from you three gentlemen is what kind of a background check did you do on this man? Did you do a background check? What kind of background check did you do on this guy?
These are, since our short questions answered, as part of his hiring process, a background check has been completed.
I'm asking you what kind of a background. Was it a full background check or was it just a hearsay background check? That's what I'm wondering.
It was more than a hearsay. It was an official background check. It's been done by
and
two crazy employees.
How many people did you interview?
We interviewed 11. Well, we received 11 resumes. We interviewed 6 different candidates.
It's just unbelievable. I just can't believe that you would pick this gentleman. I'm not even going to discuss anything about his background. All I'm going to ask you is, what is it going to cost us to have an office for him, and where is he going to be in his building, and how much is it going to cost for that office? That's what I want to know. I want figures. I don't want a bunch of BS. I want figures.
We're still arranging that.
And when is this guy coming to work?
September 1st is his start date. Whether he starts in Lebanon Township or Tewksbury on that day, I don't know, but that's when we start.
And we're still going to pay him 20 hours a week, whether he comes here or not? Is that
no, he will. I mean, he'll be here starting September 1st. He'll be here 20 hours.
What do you say about that, Mr. McKee?
I said he'll be here. We can put him right here. We can make a makeshift office. We can make it happen.
Yep.
Most administrators, from what I understand, after they are here a while, they want a secretary. Are you planning on hiring a secretary for him, too?
There's no plan.
Has that ever been discussed with him or anything?
No.
Nothing like that has been discussed.
Ah, God, I just can't believe it. And who's going to take, my other question is, who's going to take track of his hours? Is he going to punch in like everybody else in this building does, or is he administrator and he just goes where the flow is?
Yeah, he's an exempt employee, so he doesn't get paid overtime. He doesn't get clocked in, clocked out.
I understand that, but how many hours a week is he going to work? Is he going to work 15? Is he going to work 12? Is he going to work? Who's going to keep track of his hours?
This committee will provide performance reviews.
That's not the question I asked you. Who's going to keep track of his hours? How many hours is he going to work at that? You're talking. This guy's going to make about $75 an hour, right? You figure it out. If he works 50 weeks, he gets 2 weeks vacation. He's going to work 20 hours a week. That's $75 an hour. I think it's a pretty good idea that we should know what this guy is doing for $75 an hour. I'd like to have the job.
We intend to.
I would have done this job for $50,000. I wouldn't have taken it. And I think I'm probably well qualified, maybe more qualified than he is. I don't know what his qualifications are. But this whole deal doesn't look good, folks. I'm telling you. And I'm not going away, and there's a bunch of people in this township are not going away. So I'm going to just let you know that. You guys got a hard road to go. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public?
Adam Duckworth, 176 Musconetcong River Road. Also, just to provide some balance to the conversation, I'm also very interested in making sure this person works 20 hours a week, because I will request through you guys to have him do some work on behalf of the Environmental Commission. So, just want to say that there is interest in making sure that this person does their job, but I have confidence in you to keep check on that. So thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine Koch, 186 Raritan River Road. I just wanted to say, again, as Adam, to concur with Adam, I'm also on the Environmental Commission. But just, again, also for balance, I think this is a wonderful idea. It's needed. It's not that expensive. And I think it's something going forward in this day and age that is absolutely necessary in order to make compliance with various federal, state, and county law, and also dealing with personnel issues, and also dealing with grant issues. And talking this week, I've talked to a number of people that were actually against this, and I found out they didn't know what grants were. They don't know what the guy's going to do, yet they're against it. And I explained as a mini civics lesson what the grants are. And couldn't really turn them around because they're just against spending any money whatsoever, but not realizing that grants are not a bad thing. And I wanted to thank you for your efforts.
Thank you. Any other public comments? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you very much. So we have no resolutions on the agenda tonight. First item of old business, we just wanted to bring to people's attention. It's not for action for us, but our partner in the shared service agreement on August 13th, they passed a resolution appointing James R. Barberio to the position of township administrator, and that will also be the administrator that we share with them. We would expect at the next meeting, September 4th, that he will be here, and we would, I think, go through a more formal introduction at the September 4th meeting. I wanted to share that his name is now public and that he's been identified. Barberio, B-A-R-B-E-R-I-O. So unless there's any discussion from the committee or other any other old business?
Well, I just was wondering about the Tewksbury agreement here, resolution. When are we going to have the delineation between Karen and Warren and the administrator? Because there are things right now that Karen and Warren are doing that will end up going to the administrator.
As soon as he's employed, we will begin to have that discussion. Any other old business from the committee?
Yeah, somebody was asking about the T-shirts from the volunteer appreciation mm-hmm. event. Where are they?
I have them.
Can you bring them to the building?
Sure.
Should be some left because people are asking about them. Some people that came that didn't.
Well, then they should ask me and I can give them to them.
Well, they don't know who got the T-shirts. We went looking for them and they're not here, so it would be good to have them here.
Okay.
Any other old business?
Yes, Mayor. I'd like to bring up an issue that occurred at the last meeting in Woodland in Lebanon Township. I think two of my colleagues here used it as a political platform. And I don't think that when we're doing the work of the people that we should use this as a political forum. I think we're here to do the work of the people. And I'd like to know what the policy this town has in making comments like that politically. is there a policy, or can I have a position to make my political statements as well that were made that night? I'd like to hear from the rest of the committee on policy.
I think you can say anything you want.
I don't know about that. I think you're on a slippery slope ethically, making Republican comments, and Bev made a comment about the vote.
What about the vote?
Your comment was you and a couple others take away, remember for time of election. That was on 2 hours, 12 seconds.
It's truth.
Well, I think it's a political statement. I don't think that this is what we should be doing when we're doing the administration of the people.
Well, and I don't think that certain committee people, when they're in public office, should be out there on Facebook releasing executive session information and lambasting other committee people.
I'm talking about right now in this room, when we're doing the business of the people, should we be talking about political positioning? I don't think we should.
What are you talking about, political positioning? Did I say anything about Republicans? I said you took away the people's voice. What's wrong with that?
Remember for time of election.
Remember these folks. Yeah, you serve at the pleasure. I said, and you serve at the pleasure of the people.
He also said that after the vote will be taken, other people will run for office to split it up.
I just didn't say it like that. And even if I did, it's not a problem. And let's let Matt weigh in.
Sure, Matt. I'd like to hear this.
What can we say?
I just don't feel there's a position
again,
here at all.
You're asking me about whether or not it's appropriate or whether there's a prohibition.
Both. Let's start. Is it possible for a committee to have a binding policy that limits the free speech during the meeting?
The board has the ability to enact its own rules. There's no written prohibition to making political speech from the dais. It's a question of expediency or dealing with the business at hand at first, as opposed to making. Everything we do up here can be perceived as political. Every vote, regardless of the topic. So,
could we? I think if I'm understanding what Mr. McKee is suggesting, could we have a policy that says from this dais during this meeting we won't have a motion or a resolution in favor of specific candidates or against particular candidates? You're talking about electioneering.
Yeah. I just don't think it should be here. I mean, I don't care where you talk about it, but it should be here when we're talking the business.
How about we have a policy that the Republican Hunter County party members shouldn't have a majority on our township committee? That would be a good policy if you want to talk about politics.
Okay, well, let's take that in a separate.
I take it separate. I mean, this is relevant
to
this committee.
So I'm not saying it's not relevant. I'm just saying to have it. The question in front of us right now is, should we have a policy related to favoring or not favoring candidates for this committee from this committee? I think that's the first question. And you're saying we could have such a policy? Or
no,
or not?
I circumscribe the ability to speak at this meeting is going to require to limit it is going to require a narrowly drawn policy. If there are particular items that we want to consider, I'll have to get into each and every one of them separately. I'm not sure if we're talking about saying specifically that someone should or shouldn't run. Certainly, the committee can't and shouldn't vote to endorse somebody for an open seat. That would be formal action. That's not the place of the governing body.
But this governing body does, because we have three county committee members on this committee who are the ones who select and vet who's going to be on the party line for our township.
But that's not by way of this body, is what I'm saying. I understand what you're saying. I think, Brian, that's a process outside of this board. This board doesn't have the authority to determine who candidates are in an election. If there's going to be self-imposed rules that you enact, a lot of boards enact a set of rules, usually at reorg, as to policy and how things are to proceed. If we're talking about electioneering versus making a statement in favor or against something, that's a different question. Certainly, everybody up here has a right to be for or against every single piece of business that comes to this body for a vote. If we're talking about things in favor or against legislation by the state or the federal government, that's a separate category. If I'm to understand Tom's point, it's the is the question whether or not a member of this body should be making a statement about the next election and the applicability of that. I'm not going to speak to I'm going to have to look at what, if any, rights we have in that regard. Again, the basis normally is on items of a vote that anybody can be for or against it and state that in any way within the bounds of decorum. If there's a question of whether or not that speech is just inappropriate, that's a different question. But banning is a much harder harder level.
I'll go on the record. I've been here now my eighth year, going to be here 9 years, and I have never been at a meeting where that had transpired. That was the first time in 8 years. I just felt it was wrong.
Maybe people were afraid to open their mouth. And you know what else? I've never come into a meeting a half an hour before a meeting starts to tell you to stop arguing, you two, because we had a constituent in the taxpayer's office, and to come in and say, could you guys be quiet, and have this guy who I have on video going, sit down, I don't care, because you wouldn't say that to this guy, or the one down there, but you said it to me.
Beth, that was a different meeting.
It doesn't matter.
It wasn't even public.
You're menacing,
no, I'm
and you
not
don't
menacing.
Need to go after me like that.
You don't have to go after me. It's been this way with you since you've gotten on board here.
You don't tell anybody to sit down.
I told you
just
to leave me
alone. Because you don't like
alone.
Working with women.
No, that's not true.
Okay, I think we should.
You're absolutely not true. This needs to be done. I just don't like the political statements that were made here, and I just don't think it should be done.
They were generic.
Okay.
I didn't say your names.
I would suggest we take this to new business in the next meeting and ask the attorney to look into some of the issues that he's raised. If there's any other old business, otherwise we'll move on to new business. Okay, new business. The new business tonight is titled Hunting Permits for Township Open Space. We have with us the chairman of our Environmental Open Space Commission and some special guests that he's got, including another member, another who's going to speak, other members of the Environmental Open Space. Just for background, before I have Mark, who's liaison to Environmental Open Space, kind of lead it from here, the township currently has no ordinance that allows hunting on our township open space, and we own some 190 acres of open space. Most of the open space in the township is owned by the state and the county. There's been talk for some time about being able to use that land for recreational purposes, the fact that there's no doubt that we have an overpopulation of deer. Hunting goes in is really one of the few ways to control deer. We became aware, just coincidentally, in June of 2018, our neighboring town of Tewksbury passed an ordinance which allowed them to issue permits for hunting on township open property, and we've reviewed that. We've also reviewed the county policies for giving out permits to hunt on open space. And so the question tonight is whether we would like to move forward and have the attorney draft up an ordinance. Let me give one other introductory comment here before I turn it over for the specific discussion. The way that the ordinance that we would model it on works is the ordinance would enable hunting, and it would set up a framework for the fact that there would be permits and the like. But annually, this committee would review the success and issues observed in prior years. We would say how many permits. We would say, are they firearm permits? Or are they only bow hunting permits? And we could revise the details of the policy each year by resolution of this committee. And I think that would be the best way to work such a policy. So I think if we're going to move forward on an ordinance, we should have it as broad as possible. For example, I believe one thing they're going to suggest is, practically speaking, we may want to only have bow hunting in the first year. But we may buy open space in the next few years that would lend itself to firearm hunting. And I think the ordinance should include all the possibilities, and then annually this committee passed a resolution for how many permits we're going to give out that year, for what type of hunting, for what actual properties and the like. So with that, let me turn it over to
Kevin, most of it.
Mark, and the experts.
Yeah, but also part of this, because there is different pieces of property, some may be suited to bow, and some may always be suited to bow. There's some that are like 15, 17 acres, and if you made it gun, it would basically exclude 7.5 of those acres because of the safety clearances. So a bow has a 150-foot safety clearance, whereas a firearm has a 450-foot safety clearance from homes. And some of our properties, homes are right on the edge. So they would be bow. But if we have it that we're not restricting ourselves in the ordinance and gives the committee at the time the flexibility, we can also be very conservative in our first years of how many permits we give out to see how, you know, how it's utilized. You know, we don't want to overpopulate it with 8 permits and then have all 8 people show up into this little 15-acre plot of land with bows. So that's part of it. So, I mean, Adam, I think Mike and Nick, if you guys want to come up towards there and just give a little more introduction as to the reasons to it and why it's beneficial. And
some of the key features, like how the insurance would work.
Pull an extra chair up.
Who would issue the permit?
Sure. So,
and just introduce yourselves.
Sure. Adam Duckworth, Chairman of the Environmental and Open Space Commission.
Michael Chen, part of the Environmental and Open Space Commission.
And my name is Nick Semelchenko. I'm the Assistant Watershed Protection Specialist with the New Jersey Water Supply Authority.
And he's here because much of our open space is actually co-owned between Lebanon Township and the New Jersey Water Supply Authority. So anything we do on those properties, we need the participation of our co-owner.
Yeah, and I'll also say that Mike's a hunter in the township, so has that expertise, which a lot of the rest of us don't have. So across the three of us, hopefully we can answer a lot of your questions today. I mean, I'll just say a couple things. Stepping back to say, why are we even thinking about this? I mean, there's really two main drivers here. So one is we have an obligation, especially in our partnership with New Jersey Water Supply Authority, to open up our preserved open space for passive recreation. So this is a way to actually encourage people to get out, take advantage of the open space that we own as a municipality, and it reaches a set of people that we don't accommodate today. You know, the county, the state, they offer the ability to hunt on their properties, but we don't as a municipality today. And with an ordinance like this, it also allows us to give preference to our residents and our employees. So that's a great benefit for us and something nice to do for our residents as well. So between passive recreation, also from an environmental perspective, dealing with invasive species on our open space is extremely difficult when you have an overpopulation of deer. It's pretty much impossible. So until you do something to start to manage the deer population, there's really very little we can do in terms of invasive species management and habitat restoration and things of that nature. With that said, a controlled hunting program, I mean, it's not like we're taking hundreds and thousands of deer out of the population every year. We're talking, you know, a dozen to 20 hunters, taking a couple deer each. It really has a small impact. Mike has brought to our attention some ways where we could maybe accommodate more hunters with, like, buyback programs and things of that nature. Those are details we can figure out later. But certainly doing something about the deer population is part of this as well. And, you know, it was kind of serendipity. We came across this ordinance from Tewksbury Township that seemed really well-written and provided a great model for us to think about. I think Clinton Township and some other municipalities in the area have similar programs that have been successful. I'll also say this is a first conversation. I mean, we have a lot behind this, a lot of thinking, but this is a chance for all of you to ask questions, and, you know, we're here to try and answer as much as we can. And I'll just say also from, you know, to link to what Mike had said, you know, the idea here is that we're looking for an ordinance that supports the intent of hunting, but we want to keep some flexibility to adjust, you know, how many hunters. You know, we don't want to write 15 hunters or 10 permits into an ordinance and come to find out that that wasn't the right number, and we can change that in the future by resolution annually or however we choose to do that. With that, I'll say one last thing, in that the number of hunters here, around 12 to 20 hunters, is loosely based on it's fairly well based on the way the requirements of the county, and approximating about 10 acres per bow hunter is a reasonable assumption to make at this point. Again, we want to reserve the right to adjust that. And if you do move to firearm hunting, you know, the amount of area you need to accommodate a single hunter triples, basically. So it's not to say that anyone's against it, but it's to say your 12 to 20 hunters shrinks down to 4 to 6 hunters, which you would start asking questions of, is it even worthwhile to do this if you're only going to accommodate 4 or 5 residents? So something to think about, but, you know, no one's against, you know, thinking about it that way. With that, you know, I'll ask my two colleagues here. Nick, anything you want to share from water supply?
You covered everything that I would have said beautifully, but I think a lot of it depends on the size of the property that you're looking at, mm-hmm. The number of deer, the deer density that has been determined for that particular area, and then how you want to set up the program, how you want to do your hunter recruitment. These are all things that need to be figured out.
And could you just share, from a New Jersey Water Supply Authority perspective, you seem to have been very supportive of this. Have you done this with other partners elsewhere?
So we own a number of different properties across our area, the Raritan River Basin and elsewhere, that are owned by multiple entities. And many of those other entities are already running their own deer management program. New Jersey Conservation Foundation, Raritan Township, these are all, Hunter County Parks, of course, these are all entities that have been running these programs very successfully for many years, and it's something that has done really well. You've seen a lot of forest regeneration in areas where hunting has been a part of the landscape over the last, let's say, decade, and I would anticipate a similar success here.
Mike, anything else from your side?
Nope. I think you got it.
Very long.
Could I just ask, and I think, Mike, you brought this up in a previous meeting, the ordinance would require, as would be typical in a lot of situations, that the permit holder provide insurance coverage. That's not a prohibitive issue. I think you looked into that, hunt clubs and organizations.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that regular hunt clubs require as well, and there's several agencies that will give you insurance for personal hunting insurance, or collectively as a group if we, you know, made everybody who bought into the permitting process part of the hunting group of Lebanon Township, and then, you know, $5 of that covers, you know, everybody there and all the properties. So it's fairly cheap too.
So we should be able to solve that.
Yeah, that,
that issue.
I can say from the Raritan Township program, being a part of that myself, that they require each group that has basically the permit holders for one or more properties require have a $1 million insurance for that group, and very much similar to what Mike was saying.
And so that's accessible and something hunters know to get to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, okay. I think maybe just to add a little more. From what I've heard in the past, some of our properties are relatively narrow, and so, you know, again, the question going to why are we right now focusing on bow hunting versus firearm, even if it's a 10-acre property, if they're long and narrow, by the time you move 450 feet in from the boundaries, you get very limited space, whereas for bow hunting, you move in 150 feet, and you get much better utilization of the space, so...
Could I ask a question? With crossbows, is it still 150 feet?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
And, of course, the idea that archery equipment being even safer is you're in an elevated tree stand and you're only shooting down towards the ground,
right.
Whereas firearm hunting, particularly if you're going to be hunting on the ground, the trajectory is something that constantly
so
needs to be considered.
These are portable stands, not permanent stands.
That is correct.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. Permanent stands would not be are not allowed in any of the other programs that I know.
This ordinance said
so
the same
maybe thing. The ordinance could be tweaked where the firearm hunters would have to be in a tree stand.
You could certainly include that they must hunt from an elevated platform. Yes.
And that's exactly what we're looking for tonight. I mean, we're not approving anything tonight. I think we're seeing if there's a consensus of the committee to ask the attorney to start with the Tewksbury ordinance and customize it for us, and that's an excellent customary point to consider.
I'd like to not, maybe it's not the right word, discriminate against the firearm hunters, because you also have black powder, and obviously you can't have too many people at one time on the property. I mean, it's got to work out acreage-wise, et cetera, for safety reasons. Maybe there's some way that that can be organized where we have our yearly December 1 week of shotgun season where maybe the bow hunters won't be hunting there then. And, you know, there's some way to work it together so everybody gets a little piece of it, I guess, is what I'm aiming for, just to be as fair as we can. I don't really know the seasons anymore because I haven't hunted in so long, but I guess black powder also coincides often with bow hunting, or
No. Well, there are certain sections where they do towards the end of the season, as you approach the shotgun season in December, January, and even in February. But bow season basically extends from the second Saturday in September, and will run all the way through to the very end of the season in mid-February. So there's always going to be a bow season going on as well, but that's not to say that you couldn't have on appropriate properties, large enough properties, firearm week or whatever delineated days that you want to have just the firearm hunters.
Yes,
and I could also say that these other programs that I mentioned, there's no Sunday hunting to allow the non-hunting public to, you know, I guess as safely as they would like, to access the property without with them knowing that there is no hunting going on those days.
And you bring up a good point. Every program and ordinance that I've seen, it does not restrict the public from the properties during the hunting season. That's part of the reason that the permits are for 30 acres for firearm or 10 acres for bow, because the public can still be using them. Obviously, the hunters know they can't hunt in the direction of trails. They can't hunt near people, and people are the county tells you if you go on public property to wear bright orange, ideally, during the hunting season. So everyone has to get along together.
Were you done?
With
bow hunting, are they dressed in orange?
No, bow hunting does not require the use of blaze orange. You can be in full camo, and of course the idea behind that is your effective range is quite smaller than with a firearm and other firearm hunters. And, you know, if there's going to be multiple firearm hunters on the property, it's important to know and to be able to visually see where other hunters are, thus the requirement for the blaze orange.
Is it true that deer are colorblind?
There are certain colors they've been proved to be able to see, such as certain shades of red and blue, but orange does not appear to be one.
I mean, if bow hunters, we require them to have some square inches of orange on, is that a problem for the hunt?
I don't think so.
No, I don't anticipate that being a problem.
No, and to bring your point up, Brian, with the elevated, you know, hunting, I think that might be something that, I don't know if it was in the ordinance for strictly elevated, but I think that for safety reasons, I think that the township should, you know, not allow ground hunting at all. You know,
because I would imagine with the size area we're talking about, there's not going to be a drive going on and stuff like the old days.
No.
So,
and maybe the one exception would be like.
I think everybody should have some orange on it for bow hunting too.
So the model we're looking at as well, just to fill that in, is that the police department would actually handle the issuing of the permit. So we would publicize, interested parties would come to the police department, the police would do, I guess, some sort of mini background check in a way. I mean, if you're not authorized to, you know, have a firearm license, you can't have a permit sort of thing. I believe you've checked with Chief Gale, and he's spoken to Tewksbury, and
yeah, and they've had no problems with the program. And he said the biggest thing is that their statement is just making sure you limit the number appropriately, you know, for each piece of property.
So he would be open to managing this process. Again, we're talking, you know, 20 permits a year. We're not overburdening the police department with that. And then it was pointed out, now that we have our own ability to print out ID cards, you know, we can print the ID cards for the season.
With the expiration and the piece of property.
Yeah, the location, the piece of property. And I think the ordinance suggests, and it's probably standard for hunters, that they have to keep one on their stand or on their person, one at their car, so people know you can just, you know, the police or whoever can track who's around and what's happening at the time.
That's the way that they've run it in the programs that I've been involved in. One permit stays with your car, the other one is on your person.
And I think that if you put up a temporary stand during the season, it has to be identified during the whole season.
Yes, many are marked with whatever your unique permit number is, that has to be on the stand or any other equipment.
I will just add one other point in that another benefit of having a program like this is that we have become aware that people had been illegally hunting our open space properties as well. So this actually provides an extra level. If someone has a permit for that property, well, their eyes on the ground as well to help us maintain some control and some auditability of our properties also. So that's an extra side benefit.
In combination with that is you get a much better idea of the effectiveness your program has. At the end of the year, you ask for a survey, basically to find out how the hunters did, how many deer they harvested, and I suggested having all hunters who participate in the program sign a release that basically allows you to reach out to New Jersey Fish and Wildlife, where you can cross-reference the harvests that they have claimed to have taken. Each deer will have a unique confirmation number that is associated with them. So if somebody says that, let's say they took 5 antlerless deer, you'll be able to confirm that with the New Jersey Fish and Wildlife. So you can also ask for confirmation numbers from harvests at the end of the year.
And I don't think what was said here is that the permits would be prioritized to residents of Lebanon Township, unless we don't fulfill them all, and then we'd go elsewhere. But the primary point would be to give Lebanon Township residents the access to it for hunting.
And employees as well.
Do you know anything about when somebody goes for a bow permit, do they have a specific skill set that they have to pass a certain...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Very much like a driving course, for example. You need to go through a home study session. Mm-hmm. I remember doing this myself for both bow and arrow and firearm hunting, where you need to have, pass a home safety course. You go to a New Jersey Fish and Wildlife official field day, where over a 4 to 6 hour course, you will be basically tested on your knowledge of safety and need to provide a proficiency assessment.
Yeah, because I was worried about it. I've had neighbors that have, if somebody hit a deer with a bow in the wrong spot and it just tears the deer up for until the thing falls out, that's what I worry about. As long as I know that they have to have a proficiency.
Of course, yeah. And, some programs require their own proficiency exam because, of course, you want safe, ethical, and successful hunters out there that will not have that kind of stuff happen. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments, questions, discussion? Should we have a motion to draft an agenda?
I would ask for one only because and you give me any specifics just so I'm clear. Mm-hmm. I mean, if residency and employee and...
I think if you model it off of Tewksbury and pretty much include everything that's in there, unless you see anything...
I would request that you vote only because before I undertake it and it gets sent back to you that I'm not the author, I'm the scrivener working at your direction.
I would say there were three additions to that model that came out of this discussion.
Okay.
One is that firearm hunting would require elevated hunting, so no ground hunting. I don't know if I'm using the wrong words.
No, you're right. Elevated
like I said, I think all hunting should be.
Yeah. Okay. All hunting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have no problem with that either.
Okay. All hunting from an elevated stand. We would require all hunters, including bow hunters, to wear some amount of orange.
I believe that's a good. You know why? Because you don't know who's going to go hiking on the trail that day.
Yeah.
I think they should be able to spot. There may be somebody
up in the tree.
Yeah.
What's the proper term for coverage of? I'm not.
No, I don't know what the specs are anymore.
Do we say 10 square inches or do we say?
Firearms is 200 square inches.
200 square.
That's firearms.
But I mean,
basically like a safety vest.
Should we say a hat or a safety vest or?
There has to be some standard, though.
So I mean, for firearm, there would be a standard.
So the state of New Jersey requires 200 square inches of blaze orange or a completely blaze orange cap.
For firearm?
For firearm hunting, yes.
So
but for bow, would that
bow
be...
Bow and arrow, you, you can essentially come up with whatever you
and
want.
That's what I'm wondering. Would that be restrictive if we said the same amount for bow as for firearm? Or can we just say a cap?
I'll just say it.
Okay.
I think we should follow the state law that we're covered.
Okay.
And then the third was to include as part of the permit that we would get a release from the Fish and Wildlife, New Jersey State Fish and Wildlife.
Correct.
A release of their hunting records?
Yeah, at the end of the year, you could ask for a harvest report that basically shows all of the deer that were harvested by a particular hunter along with the confirmation number for each number, for each deer, sorry. And then at the end of the year, you will reach out to New Jersey Fish and Wildlife via that release, and you're just going to be confirming that what they said is actually what they harvested. And that way you can track the effectiveness of the program.
Okay.
So I think we'll be able to circle the details for that one.
And committee, one, I'm not sure if we would want to write this into the ordinance or adjust this based on the resolution every year, but from an Environmental Commission perspective, we had supported changing the model ordinance to require at least two antlerless deer before an antlered deer. So up to you if you want to write that into the ordinance or if that's more of a annual discussion.
Does anybody have a preference?
I think that maybe should be an annual discussion depending on the deer herd. Because if the deer herd is low and we're still asking to take two deer out of the herd, it may not be reasonable. So that's just thinking about it. I mean, I don't know if we...
Yeah,
I know. But,
but it would let us go to three, too.
But it's in the ordinance. And it's in there forever.
I agree with that. And the state of New Jersey, at least in the early fall bow season, already requires that you harvest an antlerless deer in this particular zone before you can harvest an antlered deer.
Yeah, we wanted to bump it up to two.
Right, exactly. So that could be an annual discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, I'd say leave it in as resolution that we can adjust it. Yeah, absolutely.
But we will include the three modifications that we talked about.
I'm just wondering who would we look to give us the information we need to find out about the health of the deer herd? Would it be the environmental group or the hunters?
Auto body shops.
Huh?
Auto body shops.
Fishing game?
There are some colleges and universities out there that do deer density studies, one of which is Raritan Valley Community College. In fact, the Raritan Township program was very heavily based on their surveys throughout the township to see what kind of deer numbers they were looking at. Give you an idea, a healthy number would be about 20 deer per square mile or less. There were some areas of Raritan Township that were in excess of 200 deer per square mile. So you can just imagine the forest lack of regeneration, the invasive species that are popping up due to overgrowth.
Tom, we're very far from having a low density of deer.
Okay. Any other discussion, or would there be a motion to direct the attorney to customize an ordinance based on the model provided from Tewksbury Township with the three additions?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thank you.
Any other new business? I have none. Seeing no other new business, we're on to presentation of vouchers.
I didn't spend any money.
And we only read out the vouchers over $1,000.
Can I ask just one quick question? Drafting the resolution, how will that happen? Can we take part in helping with that?
I think we'll definitely have you, as the EOSC Commission, we'll get your input on that. Annual resolution. Thanks.
I have one for KS State Bank. It's for the 2018 Ford Utility Interceptor. It's $14,160.83. That's my only one.
I have New Jersey Health Benefit Plan, August premium, $31,386.95. Bear Reese Engineering, these are for three different projects. One, the annual stormwater compliance report. The New Jersey Department of Transportation preparation of and submission of the grant from last month. And the Maple Lane question that came up at two meetings ago. Total engineering services, $1,040 for those three projects. General Code publishers for updating our Our ordinance codes, $1,058.28. JCP&L master account for power, $1,278.25. And vital communications for the annual tax bills, $1,309.62.
I've got one for Campbell Foundry Company for drainage pipes for various projects. I've got one for the Lebanon Township Board of Education for the September 2019 school tax levy, $1,721,166.67. I've got one for North Hunter and Voorhees Regional High School, September 2019 school tax levy for $922,563. And I have one for Opdyke Sales and Service for various parts for equipment for $1,212.41.
I have one here for Gephardt and Kiefer for professional service for the month of June and July for $4,168. I also have another one for Gephardt and Kiefer, which is outside the retainer, for professional services, which is $1,485.69. That's it.
So total voucher list comes to $2,716,016.62. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, correspondence. First correspondence is a letter from the Meals on Wheels in Hunterdon County requesting an annual donation. In the past, we've donated $500 to this worthy cause. Is there any discussion on that, or would someone want to make a motion for that?
Well, we had up the Adult Center $500, so what if we matched that for the Meals on Wheels program?
I don't believe we budgeted it, though.
I don't think we did. Any other? You're saying to actually double it to 1,000 is probably a bit much, but
what, 750? Going once, going twice.
What if we go up 20% to $600? Is that or obviously we got to pull that out of someplace else. So I don't know. Any other discussion?
It's going to be another $250 if we go up to 750. I think we can find that.
I'll second that.
Any other discussion or roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. It's a $750 donation to Meals on Wheels in Hunterdon County. Next is a correspondence from Cyclecraft, which is hosting organizing a bike ride event that goes through our township, starts at Camp Burney. They're not asking for any action. They're just informing us. This would be on Saturday, the 21st of September. So FYI, they will be coming through the northern part of the township.
I did ask them about the arrows they put on the ground, and they sent me this. If you want to see it, they said they can take them up if we want. So.
They apparently are biodegradable. But then we have the minutes from the Lebanon Township Environmental Open Space meeting on June 3rd, as well as on July 1st. Any discussion then? Not. Then we've got the tax collector's report for the month of July, which we also normally read out. So taxes collected in July for the year 2019, $693,637.74. Taxes collected back for 2018, $29,551.91. Tax collected ahead for 2020, $6,625.56. Interest collected of $4,745.64. Tax sale costs $57.84 for total receipts of $734,618.74. And then we have the curator's report for August 21st. Anything?
I have nothing to add.
I just wanted to point something out that is interesting in the report. Is the showcase of the vintage lunch boxes from the 1940s through the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds really interesting.
That'll be coming up in September, I think, right? Yep, I think after the current exhibition. Okay. With that, we would open to public comment for any comment anyone would like to make. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make the motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. If anyone would like to make a comment on any topic. Or seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. We will be going into executive session. We have several items. The first is a personnel matter related to staffing at the museum. The second is on potential liability related to cannabis legislation in New Jersey. And then we have three contract matters. One is related to a CWA contract proposal, and then a contract with the DPW supervisor and a contract for the municipal clerk. That would be Resolution 77-2019, if there's a motion for that.
I'll make a motion to go into executive session number 77.